Question of the day: what to do when people are not as nice to you as you are to them? Hello, I am PM Forni. I'm a professor of Italian literature in the Department of German and Romance Languages at Johns Hopkins University, and I'm the founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins. My new book, The Civility Solution: What to Do When People Are Rude, came out on the 10th of June this year.
Congratulations. And I'm Elizabeth. Tracy, welcome to this month's Great Ideas. So your book has been published. It's out there, The Civility Solution. What's the focus of this book?
The focus of this book is rudeness. It is a book about rudeness, what rudeness is, why we should bother with it, trying to do something about it, why it has an impact on the quality of our lives. To a large extent, it is a book about preventing it, how to prevent rudeness and how to confront it when preventing doesn't work.
Okay, so of course all of us are victims, if you will, of rudeness. Oftentimes that makes us, or we feel that it makes us, respond rudely in reply. So with regard to prevention, what are strategies for prevention?
Well, rudeness, as you say, is everybody's everyday problem. There is no way to escape it. So that's the reason that when we are talking about rudeness and incivility, we are not talking about inconsequential matters. We are talking about the quality of our everyday lives.
I'm very interested in your observation that rudeness is something that really impacts on the quality of all of our lives and does that daily. And I agree with that assessment.
When I started working on civility, politeness, and good manners several years ago, one thing that I had to do was to detrivialize the issue, showing people that when we are talking about civility, good manners, and politeness, we are not necessarily talking about which fork to choose for the salad. We are talking about how to treat one another in everyday life and really what's more important than that. Rudeness is everybody's everyday problem. There is no day that goes by in which we are not confronted with an act of rudeness to which we have to respond. Very often, we find ourselves unprepared. And my book wants to be a manual of self-defense for the moments, the times, the circumstances when people are rude to you.
Now, you had mentioned already something that I'm interested in exploring further, and that is the idea that rudeness can be prevented.
Yes, and this is what many people don't think about. Rudeness can be prevented. Actually, the first strategy to adopt when it comes to confronting the problem of rudeness in everyday life is to try to prevent it. And how do you do that? The question is, how can I become the kind of person people are less likely to be rude to in the first place? And that's the civility solution. And by being a civil person, by being a considerate person, by being kind, very often people will match your behavior. Not all the time. If they did, we wouldn't be here recording this podcast.
So this sounds like a great idea. It's been my own personal experience that even though that may be my objective, that is to treat other people with great civility, sometimes I find it very challenging to do that.
Yes, it is. That's because we tend to respond unthinkingly, not thinking about what our options are. And we tend to be emotional. One of the goals of my book is to present the issue of responding to rudeness in such a way that makes it less emotional to the person involved. An act of rudeness should be a package that you receive, but then you return unopened. It is something that has to do more with the person who is being rude to you at that moment, his or her state of mind, than any fault of your own. Very often, incivility is a product of insecurity, and we burden others with that insecurity. And one of the things that I would like to achieve with my book is to tell people to depersonalize the slight. The rudeness that comes our way from others is a major source of stress. And we are already stressed in everyday lives. And these very often random, very often unexpected acts of rudeness add stress to stress. When we are talking about civility, good manners, and politeness, we talk about awareness. We are civil when we are aware of others and we weave restraint, respect, and consideration into the very fabric of that awareness. By contrast, incivility is disregard, is not being aware of others, is being self-absorbed.
It's so amazing what you suggest to me. You sound kind of like the Dalai Lama, right? In some ways. I'd like to ask you, how long have you been a civil person? Is this just something you were born with?
I have been working on civility for the past 15 years. I answer this question usually by saying that I know that the message is good, but I also know that the messenger is flawed. I cannot pretend to be always civil. I am human. I try to restrain myself, to respond rather than reacting in a knee-jerk fashion.
What about civility instruction? Would you say that it's something that we ought to start instituting in schools, in elementary education?
There was a great asset in families around the world that has declined in the last two or three generations. And that great asset was the teaching of good manners by the parents for the sake of the children, very often at the dinner table. Mother would tell little Timmy, you know, you should really eat with your mouth closed. But why, Mama? Why should I do that? Well, let me tell you. It just appears that people don't seem to enjoy looking at half-chewed food in the mouths of others. In that way, or in a similar way, mother would not only give little Timmy a rule of table manners, but would give also at the same time the main principle of ethical life, the fact that our actions have consequences for others. Today, we are not as serious in teaching good manners in the family, and many families expect the schools to take their place. I think that we have to find ways to return to the teaching of good manners and civility as a primer in moral philosophy, as a primer in ethical behavior. That is why I'm a strong advocate, I'm very staunch in my advocacy of the teaching of civility-based relational competency in the schools. Good manners, civility, and politeness are time-tested, very efficient codes of relational skills. Life is a relational experience. We are all creatures of the social ocean. When we are taught manners, we learn how to swim.
That was excellent. What a great statement. Is there anything else about this book you'd like to add?
What I would like to add is that the second part of the book is a collection of 110 rude situations with the solution. If I may, I'd like to read a situation dealing with the family, friends, and spouses. This is the situation. Your grandmother revisits your weight problem. Bridal radiance, married stability, and prompt pregnancy are what your loving grandmother sees in her mind's eye when she sees you, her 31-year-old, still single granddaughter. Loving, she is. Tactful, not quite. Now, dear, you have a great smile. You are smart and you are funny. It doesn't mean that you have to settle for less than the best just because of your weight problem. You were so slim in high school. Oh, well. Although she has occasionally dwelled on your weight before, her comments really bother you now. Isn't there an unwritten grandmother-granddaughter covenant saying that the former must find the latter nothing short of flawless? And the solution? Try a response something like this. Granny, I may be a couple of pounds over my regular weight, but I wish you wouldn't judge me. It makes me feel that I'm a disappointment to you. What do you say we drop the issue of my weight once and for all? Let's talk about something else when we are together. The idea is that not that you are going to find every situation that fits your needs of the moment, but you have enough situations for which you can adapt to your own needs. This is what makes this book rather practical. It's a handbook in everyday life for the answers that they're looking for.
And hopefully start to insert civility into all of our interactions.
That is the key solution, because when we are civil, we do something not only for others, but also for ourselves. Goodness is good for you, first and foremost, is good for you. There are benefits in being kind and considerate. And one fundamental one is that when we are kind, when we are civil, we are likable. So to the extent that being civil and kind and considerate makes us likable, it makes us saner, it makes us more social. It improves, therefore, the quality of our lives. Civility and incivility are a quality of life issue.
Okay, PM, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for your interest in my work.